So it is, we are well on our way into the sixth chapter of John. When we studied this in seminary, and ever since, we kind of joke about it as it comes up in the liturgy, because week after week after week, we keep hearing from the sixth chapter of John, and so we talk about the bread of life discourse. That's the sort of theological naming of these passages of Scripture. And because we just keep hearing the same one, it seems, over and over again, we call it the unending number of chapters. So today is like the 73rd chapter of the bread of life discourse. After a while, you lose track. And this is a very long chapter. If you would look it up in your scriptures, it's something like over 60 verses, almost 70 verses long. So it does merit a long period of time for us to reflect on it in the church. And so that's why it's in this particular cycle of the lectionary, in part because Mark was so short. We need to fill it in with something else, and there's nothing better than the sixth chapter of John. And so here we are. We heard last week, if you recall, the first little bit of it, and it bears repeating so that we have a sense of continuity about this. It was the story of the feeding of the 5,000 people with this five loaves and two fishes. If you were here, you saw how Mother Mary Kisner was able to retell that story and make the connections with other stories in the scriptures. Because this is such a central reality in our lives and in the lives of the Christian church and of disciples of Christ as part of it. Today, we hear again, even as we saw foreshadowed in the Gospel of Mark a few weeks ago, where the people are running, willy-nilly all over the place looking for Jesus. After all, he just fed them with five loaves of bread and two fish. They want some more. It tells us something about human nature. It's kind of like we're hardwired that way, you know? But we never quite have enough. Whatever we get, whatever it is, we always are looking for more. Even at Christmas time, for example, when we're opening gift after gift after gift, when we're children, we also look up and say, is there another one? Or perhaps we're at a wonderful meal that someone's prepared for us, and it really is quite scrumptious, and somebody says, well, do you want more? And we always, almost always take more, even if it's just a little bit, because we want to savor a little more of what we have already tasted. It's never quite enough. And people of God are no different. Israel washed out from Egypt. They were being led out of Egypt by Moses, and they got into the desert, and Moses discovered that the people of God were simply a bunch of whiners. You're a bunch of people who complained all the time. They didn't get very far out on their journey to the promised land. Before they were complaining, they didn't have enough to eat. And so they complained to Moses. And Moses, realizing that, you know, he couldn't really help this any, he went up and met with God on the mountainside. And God realized that, well, he had told from among the whiners, the chief whiner. It was Moses talking to God, and not so much whining about not having enough to eat, but whining about the people. You gave me a stiff-necked people. All they do is complain. As if, well, we could provide something else. So God, being the ever-present and patient God, and the ever-bountiful and generous God that God is, said to Moses, well, go back down there and tell them to go to sleep, and in the morning, they'll be able to find everything that they need. And the miracle of the manna from heaven occurs. Now, we have a tendency to think that there were loaves of bread all over the ground. That's not what was happening. Scholars tell us that there was some sort of phenomenon that happens in the Middle East, and that God, you know, kind of used all of that to the advantage of the people, and there was some sort of substance on the rocks and on the plants that were around, and they were able to take this, and it was nutritious. It brought them nutrition. They could live on that. And so, as they made their journey through the wilderness, they would find this every morning, day after day after day after day after day for 40 years. It was there. But you see, that wasn't enough either, because they got into their journey a little further, and then they're saying, yeah, you brought us out here, and all we have is this bread and meat. We want meat. So Moses goes up to the mountain again and talks to God, and God just sort of shrugs his shoulders and rolls his eyes, perhaps, and said, all right, we'll go down and you'll find it. And suddenly the quail, flocks of quail come along, and they're able to find meat to eat. And again, this happens time after time after time, day after day after day, for 40 years. And then, they're still not happy. Still, they turn away from God and they get mixed up in all kinds of things. Maybe, you know, we could laugh at them and make fun of them. Maybe we're really not so different. How many times have we gone to prayer and asked for things from God? And even when God grants our prayers and somehow we find what is the earnest desire of our hearts, it never quite seems to be enough. We go back and we say, well, you gave me the red rag, and now I'd like a bite to go with it. Or, you know, I got what I was looking for, but I need a little bit more. You know, there's a whole branch of the Christian tradition in our day and age. It's been around for a little while, not all that long, but it's been around. It's called the gospel, prosperity gospel. And there are people that are out there proclaiming this idea that just if you do X, Y, Z, then God will bless you with great abundance. You will always have all the money you need. You will always have a great job that you just revel in and enjoy. You will have a wonderful car. You will have a roof over your head, and not just any roof, but a wonderful roof. And it just goes on and on and on. And if you watch any of those kinds of preachers, some of them are on television, you'll see that they draw huge crowds. Maybe as many as 5,000. Oh, does that sound familiar? Suddenly, there they are, and God is parceling these things out. And like the people in Jesus' time, they go looking because they want more. Oh. You know, poking at him, I realize that, and in one sense, he's a colleague of mine, obviously, because we're both ministers of the gospel, and we try to bring people to God, but if there's one in particular that is extremely successful by these measures these days, and if you look at him, he's even got his own channel on satellite radio. And speaking of Joel Osteen, he's probably the most popular and significant purveyor of the gospel of prosperity in our day and age. And in fact, if you watch his televised sermons and celebrations, I ask you the next time you look at it, and listen, I mean, everything he says isn't bad or wrong. I'm not saying that at all. But just look around. You won't see the cross. Behind him is this wonderful sort of cosmic vision of the universe. And you know, again, that God is the creator of all that is the maker of all things, and it logically follows that because of that, if you're in relationship with God, you will get all the things that you need. But you won't see, or not, at least not very often, or very prominently displayed, the cross. Why is that? Perhaps because it's a cross that the world does not want to know about. People in the world and of the world see God as the source of all goodness and all mercy, to be true. But Jesus teaches us very clearly that it doesn't come to us simply in some sort of vast cosmic transaction that we make with God. But rather, Jesus teaches us that the only way into this abundant life is through the cross. The cross, which is the instrument of death. The cross which Jesus bids every one of his disciples to take up and to live in the way that Jesus lived, which is to give up his very life for the love of another. That's not sounding like this prosperity gospel, where suddenly it is about getting things. And that's what Jesus was talking about in the gospel lesson today. He's saying, you come to look for me, you come to see me, you chase me down because somehow your belly's got full and now you're hungry again, so that's what you are looking for. You are looking to get them filled up again. You want more. You want more. Jesus tells these people, he says, no. Don't look for the things that perish. Don't look for the things that spoil and get stale. Don't look for that kind of food. Look for the food that feeds the soul. The food that sustains you, whether it is good times or bad. The food that can bring you life even as you face death. The food that I have to offer, which is no more and no less than my life for the life of the world. He says, this is the food you should desire. This is the food you should look for. This is the food that I give you. For I, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. If your souls are hungry, then come to me, and I will fill you up. I will fill you up with such grace and such abundance in your heart of hearts and in your deep soul and in your mind that there will be more than 12 baskets full left over. This I can give you. This I will give you. I am the bread of life. If it is life you seek, do not seek the things that perish. Do not seek the things that go stale. Do not seek the things that get moldy. Seek the things rather that last forever. Seek the things of the heart. Seek love, forgiveness, mercy, tenderness, kindness, wisdom, and fear of the Lord. Seek these fruits of the Holy Spirit, and you will be full. This isn't about making sure that we've got the right house and the right car and making sure we got enough in our bank account to retire well. Oh, none of that is bad. I'm not saying it is. But if that's all that you're looking for, then you will not find the life that your heart so earnestly desires. Because these things do not come to us from God simply because we have made some sort of transaction with him. A quid pro quo, so to speak, where we give something and expect to get in return. That's not the way of God. But rather, the way of God is one of self-giving love, of total abundance, not of the things of this world, but of the things of the kingdom of heaven. And if it is in that kingdom where we are living, then we will be satisfied and we will never be disappointed because we will not be looking for the things of this world, but the things that will last and will guide us into everlasting life. I am the bread of heaven, Jesus tells these people. I am the one that can sustain you. I am the one that can give you life. I am the one that even if you die, you will live. And so we come here, not numbering anywhere near 5,000 people. But maybe because we see the cross. And we see that the only way to the abundant life that God has to offer us, whatever that is through that cross. It is through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. And so Jesus holds out to us in our day and in our age this wonderful sacrament of his body and blood. And he hands out to us a piece, a morsel of bread. And he says, take this little morsel and eat it. Because if you do, you are telling me that you are my disciple, that you are willing to take up your cross and follow me. Take this little morsel of bread. Take it to yourself. Because if you eat this, you are eating the bread of life. You are hearing the word of God. You are drinking the blood of Christ. And in so doing, you are handing your life over to God. And that's all that God asks of us. To be willing, with open hearts and minds and hands, to give back to God what God already owns. Our very souls, ourselves, our bodies. To be used for the purposes of God. To be used for the sake of the kingdom. To be used for the spread of this good news. It is not a gospel of prosperity in the sense that our society wants to hear it. It is a gospel of everlasting life. A gospel that has been true and abiding for generations, no. For centuries, no. For millennia, no. Beyond that, since the very beginning of time. Even as God pulled that ancient people out of Pharaoh's slavery into the wilderness and through the wilderness into a promised land. As God calls us out of our slavery to sin and evil into the wilderness of our lives and in through that wilderness, through the wilderness of the cross, into the promised land of the kingdom of God. That is what Jesus calls us to. I am the bread of life. Whoever eats this bread will never be hungry. It is the bread that feeds the soul. And in feeding the soul, keeps our bodies well. This is the bread that is offered to you today. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven, to which we affirm, amen. And we take it to ourselves, and we say to God, I am yours. Do with me